again, National Army and police?
There will be patrols and things of the like that will be conducted jointly, probably initially with the Illinois soldiers having more of the lead. Towards the end of the deployment, I would imagine that the Illinois soldiers would just provide feedback and pointers based on their performance.
Groves says the troops will go through additional training, including cultural awareness, before they leave for Afghanistan around Thanksgiving. The 33rd Brigade will stay in Afghanistan for about a year. Tomorrow's ceremonial deployments are set for 10 o'clock at the Sullivan High School football field and 2 o'clock in the afternoon at Heartland Community College in Normal. Democrats in the Illinois House are inching closer to privatizing the state lottery. The House is scheduled to meet next week to debate the idea of leasing the lottery to a private company and perhaps using the money for construction projects around the state. Litchfield Representative Gary Hannig says the lease would have to bring the state at least $10 billion, and the state would get 20% of annual revenues, with the rest going to the private contractor. House Democrats are also looking at restrictions on Governor Al Blagojevich's authority to negotiate the contract and award fees to consultants. The lottery idea has been floating around since early last year when Blagojevich proposed it. 3 months after devastating floods hit much of Indiana, emergency officials say residents should prepare now for the next disaster to hit the state. Indiana's annual Preparedness Week runs Sunday through September 13th. State Health Commissioner Judy Monroe says residents should take steps now to prepare for a tornado, earthquake, deadly flu outbreak, or other disaster. Authorities say residents need to have a family action plan spelling out how their relatives would contact each other if they're separated in a disaster. Part of such a plan includes having an evacuation route and meeting places. Workers will be doing some final construction work right up to tomorrow's first University of Illinois home football game of the season. The game will take place in a memorial stadium that's undergone a $121 million renovation. The biggest change is in the west stands of the 85-year-old stadium, which is now topped by a massive new press box and rows of skyboxes and suites. Assistant Athletic Director Kent Brown says inside the stands is where all fans will notice a big difference.
When fans walk in and see the great big murals, the big graphic design, the big graphics that have been hung in the Great West Hall are going to be, very, very happy. There's going to be a high wow factor when they walk in.
The stadium also sports new concession and restroom facilities and the largest weight room of any college football program. Brown says there will be about 1,000 tickets available for walk-up fans tomorrow. Kickoff is at 11 a.m. Police have converged on a bank in the Chicago suburb of Wheaton, where city officials there say a suspect is inside under a hostage situation. Wheaton police so far won't elaborate, but a woman who was evacuated from the Wheaton Bank and Trust building says SWAT officers rushed her outside. Donna Price says she and other workers locked themselves inside their office when officers knocked on their doors and told them to get out. The owner of a nearby business told CLTV in Chicago that police had ordered her salon locked down earlier in the afternoon. Metro spokeswoman Judy Pardonet says police asked them to halt all freight and commuter train traffic on the line that goes near the banks. Pardonet says trains are stopped on the tracks. There was no immediate comment from DuPage County Sheriff's Police or the FBI. Our next report of AM 580 News is at 5:30. I'm Tom Rogers.
Today's broadcast is made possible by The Great Impasta, a restaurant serving foods from northern Italy. The Great Impasta offers a private dining room for parties, meetings, and other events. The Great Impasta, 114 West Church in Champaign. The staff at The Great Impasta encourage you to join them in supporting WILL.
It's 4:33. Mike Sola has our forecast.
Thanks, Tom. It is currently 64 degrees on Friends Plaza. The average high temperature for the 5th of September is 82 degrees. We will not reach that today. In fact, unless the clouds clear off very quickly, we probably will not reach even towards the upper 60s. We'll stay in the middle 60s today, and then the clouds will start to thin out a little bit tonight. We look for a partly cloudy sky and patchy fog forming across the two-state area with a low temperature in Champaign-Urbana of 53 degrees. The wind will be out of the north at 4 to 8 miles per hour if you have plans to go out to a high school football game. You might want to bring a sweatshirt along with you tonight. I don't think there's any need for any umbrella. Looks like all the precipitation has pulled up and away from Illinois. A few sprinkles remain right now across portions of central and northern Indiana, and even that precipitation is very light. Tomorrow in Champaign-Urbana, partly sunny, the high temperature around 76 degrees. The wind out of the north to northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloud cover thickens up for tomorrow night, partly to mostly cloudy, the low 55. and a partly sunny day for Sunday. Right now, shooting for a high temperature of 78, but if the clouds roll in, it may be another cooler day than that. And then Sunday night, mostly cloudy, showers and thunderstorms arriving, low temperature 57. We stay below average for temperature on Monday with a cloudy sky and periods of showers and thunderstorms. The high temperature on Monday, 68 degrees. Again, it's 64 degrees on Friends Plaza across Illinois and Indiana. We're one of the cooler locations. Lincoln, Paris, Alton, and Cahokia are the coolest at 63. And the warmest temperature was at Moline, where the sun did break out from the cloud cover. Temperature there at the top of the hour, 74. Willard Airport was also 64 with a dew point of 58. The wind out of the northwest at 8 miles per hour. I'm Mike Sola.
It's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. Many religious conservatives see Sarah Palin as one of their own. Her evangelical credentials have helped them get behind John McCain's bid for the presidency. Palin's background is in the Pentecostal church. And as NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty reports, what Palin has revealed about her religious beliefs offers a glimpse of her worldview.
On June 8, Alaska's governor dropped in on Wasilla Assembly of God, a Pentecostal